Just so you know, whenever we have baptisms, at least at the liturgies that I celebrate, rather than go through the whole ritual, is that I will do the actual baptism after a brief homily, and then at the end of Mass, I will invite the family, certainly the child, godparents, parents, to come forward just after the recessional, and we will have the rest of the anointing and the blessing that goes with the ritual. That's just by way of housekeeping, so you know. And then that will take the place of the creed. Also, I want you to pray for Father John. He left on a well-deserved vacation for a couple of weeks. He's driving hither and yon. I channeled my mother with him early this morning. And I said to him what my mother used to say to me when I was driving from at the end of my vacation from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, to Philadelphia, where I was teaching. Pennsylvania is a long state, a 7-8 hour drive. She would say to me, reminding me not to pick up hitchhikers, common sense. And then, of course, channeling my mother, remembering, I almost said it to him, but I didn't. Whenever I was younger, channeling my mother, one of those things that the mother spirit and the father spirit perhaps come through us to say is, make sure you change your underwear. I don't want to be embarrassed in the emergency room if you've had an accident. And the other thing was, if we were going out to dinner to a friend's or relative's home, don't ask for a second helping. They think I don't feed you at home. It's interesting how we channel that spirit inside of us. Nurturance, correction, formation, advocacy, love, faith and faithfulness, certainly hope. All of those things that are manifestations of the Holy Spirit that we become when we are baptized and confirmed with the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, elucidated so beautifully in the letter to the Galatians this very morning, particularly outlining not only those things of fallen nature, which are negative, sinful, self-indulgent, and selfish, but also the fruits of the Holy Spirit that is sign. Because the attitude is the father of the action. When I and we are graced with the Holy Spirit that comes to us and will come to Danielle in her baptism this morning, grace builds on nature, and consequently we are influenced with a palpable sense of the whisper of the Holy Spirit, intuition of you will, of a calling, a vocatio, to do something that is of the ilk, if you will, or the persuasion of the teaching of the nine fruits. Interesting times in which we live, God only knows. It seems we got more of a neo-paganism time than ever, not only in this country, but in the world. I don't know if you saw something that was in the Catholic news. You're not gonna hear this in the Catholic press. Poland. Last week, with a president that is a socialist, announced publicly that they are no longer a Catholic country, let alone Christian. They are now neo-pagan. Interesting that she announced that public displays that have to do with the crucifix or the cross or shrines outside of the Blessed Mother, those signs are to be taken down because we are no longer a Christian country. She suggested that they are oppressive signs of freedom in human nature. Case in point, she emphasized that honoring and venerating, if you will, homosexuality in their country, criminalizing anything that would be a public or private display, such as business refusing them, business for whatever, that's criminalized because they are now in a neo-pagan age. Did you know that in France, the same thing has been declared, that they are no longer a Catholic or Christian country? It is a neo-paganism, a restoration of paganism in that country. And of course, you know that a supposedly Catholic and Christian country like that, one of the eldest daughters of the church, as they have been always called, has fewer and fewer and fewer people celebrating the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Churches are empty, Protestant and Catholic. They are filled with visitors to that country. But most of the culture, they might register that they are Catholic on a particular affidavit or census point, but they're cultural Catholics. They identify it as, but they're not practicing or faithful Catholics. It's a neo-paganism time. Italy, the seat of the papacy, once known as the Holy Roman Empire, and full of the Holy Spirit and missionary and evangelistic efforts to go out and spread the good news. Zero population growth, as is the case in Germany and in France. As a matter of fact, in Italy, they are taking grade schools that no longer have children in them, and they are refurbishing them to be homes of the elderly. That was on 60 Minutes a year ago. It was interesting. People who said they had gone to a particular grade school as young people were now finding themselves in their golden years being taken care of in the place that once they educated them. Now it is caring for them, all estate, good for them. But there's zero population growth because of abortion, because of contraception. China is coming into zero population growth long after a time of only one child per family, and now they're paying them to have two and three children. Now young adults no longer want them. They have become expensive, and there is a certainly secret capitalism, if you will, in a communist state. They are used to a certain style of living. The population is turning elderly, and the young people are not as numerous as they once were. And China is wondering how they're possibly going to be taking care of their elderly population. It goes on and on and on. Except for places like third world countries, like Africa, where the church is booming, there the African episcopacy, the bishops, are very faithful to their traditions of church teaching, unlike many bishops, not only in this country, but in other first world that bend to the culture and don't speak out against what is listed as the wages of sin in Galatians today, of the darkness, of the selfishness of human nature. I was reading something the other day. I am weeding my collection of books. They're too expensive to pack and send, so I've read most of them anyway, so with the help of the deacon, I put them out in the narthex there. You might want to look at them and take some home with you. If you can give a couple of bucks to help pay for my move, that would be great. You can't afford it, you can't afford it. You are welcome to those books. But I was going along with them to my old journals. Look at this one from 1971. Look at the shape it's in since 1971. Fallen apart like many of us who were very young in 1971. Well, I am anyway. Another story to be told another time. But I was reading something that I wrote down. I'm glad I wrote this stuff down once upon a time because, you know, you forget the inspirations and the wisdom that God gives us at certain epochs of our life. Little insights, little inspirations, little wisdoms. Whether you're borrowing it from someone else along the journey to dip into for inspiration and consolation and to remember the aha experience of this makes sense. I must remember it, so I write it down before I forget it, which is something I do often. But this is what I came across, speaking of baptism and confirmation, where we have the fullness of the Catholic faith given to us, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in the sacraments of initiation, which I remind you are baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation. We are all to be confirmed. Confirmation confirms my baptismal promises. In early Christian times, there was a Roman leader by the name of Julian who was converted to the Catholic faith. Later, he fell away from the faith and was known as Julian the Apostate. Interesting character. Later, he became the Roman Emperor. To make his denial of the Catholic faith complete, he decided to profess idolatry at a public ceremony. Great preparations were made for this celebration by the pagan priests with all the pomp and circumstance they prepared to offer sacrifices to false idols. When the moment came to conduct this pagan festival, the priests found themselves paralyzed. They could not move to conduct it. Their sharp knives would not cut the flesh of the sacrificial animals. The fire on their altars went out. They began to look around for the cause of this paralysis. Then a young Christian man, just baptized and confirmed, bravely proclaimed, "I am a Christian. Only a few days ago, I was anointed with the oil of confirmation and the waters of baptism to strengthen me in the struggle for my Savior. In my heart, I called upon the name of Jesus Christ, and your devils lost their power. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is true God, the demons have been put to flight." Julian the Apostate was confused and filled with terror. He feared the punishment of an offended God. Without another word, the sinful service broke up. The graces of baptism and confirmation stood out most clearly in this incident. Armed and fortified with the grace of this sacrament, this young Catholic man was able to stop a pagan service. It goes on to talk about the importance of baptism, to talk about the importance of baptism. Did you know, for the first time in this country of the Catholic faith, fewer and fewer people are having their children baptized? Did you know, at this time in this country, for the first time since the inception of the United States of America and the history of the Catholic Church, fewer and fewer people are choosing to be confirmed? Did you know that fewer and fewer couples in this country are approaching a sacrament or even a religious service? If they're married at all, civil unions, they'll be married by a justice of the peace. It has nothing to do with the covenant between man and a woman and Christ, especially for us, the sacrament of matrimony. Matrimony means mother making, but it's a covenant that is made for us, just as a covenant is made with God individually in baptism. A covenant is made and increased with God when we are confirmed. A covenant is made between a man and a woman, besides the civil union and the blessings of the local culture, the license, then you have a covenant. A contract can be broken by any time. People change their minds. A covenant cannot be broken because it involves God, God who is always faithful, which is why Catholics are called to get counsel whenever they're having trouble in their weddings or in their marriages. That's part of the preparation. You know that if you have a rough time, and people do in their marriages, you have the obligation to seek out one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit that called counsel. Counsel is for the purpose of clarity and understanding, renegotiation and sacrifice. It's done with God's grace. Married outside of the covenant, grace does not abound. As Paul says, grace abounds where sin abounded once before. We need God's grace. The Father poured his Son into the womb of the Blessed Mother. She is full of grace to do what was done on the cross and then ascended, which we celebrated last week, so that the coming of the Holy Spirit could come to us in Pentecost, which is talked about in John's Gospel today. We all have our own Pentecost when we are baptized. This is the birthday of the koinonia, the ecclesia, the body of Christ the Church. Did you know that whenever you go to Mass, you have a certain power? Another name for power in the New Testament was dynamis, a Greek word. It means dynamic power. There is a zeal that we are called to, which in the New Testament, zeal means to bring to a boil, to be on fire. Yes, we all have moments of tepidity, of sloth, of aridity. It's our nature. We can't possibly naturally be on and up and outward. We have our moments of quiet, loneliness perhaps, isolation. It's the human condition. But grace builds our nature, and the Holy Spirit is constantly compelling us to come up and out of ourselves. We're called to hospitality, not to hostility. We come to Mass to pray for the whole world, especially those who are in most need of our prayer and intercessory power. I certainly hope that you know about Our Lady of Fatima. It always surprises me how many Catholics don't. You should. It's part of our legacy, part of the teaching tradition of the Catholic Church, along with Lourdes and Akita and Nock and Medjugorje and La Salette and Our Lady of Good Success and on and on and on, Our Lady of Guadalupe. She's constantly calling her children, as she calls us, for souls to pray the rosary, the weapon against what was listed, what was darkness in Galatians, the weapon that calls on grace and touches our will to do his will. Everything is about the will. We have a brat will, a selfish will, a self-serving will. It's part of concupiscence left over from original sin. We are called to do God's will. It's a big deal in the Old and the New Testament and the teaching tradition. It's what the Our Father prayer is all about. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have to have the stamina and the discipline and the self-control talked about in grace in Galatians to do the Father's will and to do penance, not only what I was told to do after my sacrament of reconciliation. I'm constantly doing penance and reparation and atonement for fasting for my sins and the sins of the world. The Blessed Mother in 1917 spoke to those three little children, all of them canonized saints today. She said many things. You can read about them. One of the things that she did, shaking them to their core, was showing them the fires of hell and what goes on there. They were terrified when it was over, and she said to them, "Excuse me for this, but you must know that hell exists. People who go to hell, most of them don't believe that there is a hell." And she said, "You must pray for those who are into perdition," which is part of what Galatians talked about in the darkness. She said, "You must pray for them, especially at Holy Mass." That's what she called it, Holy Mass. "And you must pray the rosary, and you must do penance and fasting." She said, "Many people go to hell because they have no one to pray for their conversion." This is why we come to Mass. This is why we go to confession. This is why we have our children baptized and confirmed. This is why we know our Catholic faith, the teaching tradition. Ignorance is not bliss. We have to be grounded and anchored in what the Church teaches. Feathered in the wind, which is what happens when we don't believe in anything, we are subject to everything. Some of it, even of the occult. When there is a void of grace, nature abhors a vacuum. That's certainly true of supernatural grace. Don't think for a moment that just filling it up with materialism or a good cause or whatever, the devil rushes in to take the place whenever the Holy Spirit is not vivified or even taken on, because the Holy Spirit is the kiss of the Holy Spirit between the Father and the Son. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. Because of Jesus, there's always hope. What we do know, that the Blessed Mother says in all her apparitions, speaking of Fatima also, "Do not despair, have hope and pray, and do penance and sacrifice. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph." Too many young people are abandoning the faith. We all have members of our family that no longer have the faith or have gone to something outside of the fullness of the Catholic Church. Did you know that this past Easter, for all that's going on that is negative in the world, in the Church, in this country, that since the Second Vatican Council, the most numerous amount of people came into the Catholic Church in the United States than has ever been at the Easter Vigil? And you know something else? Some of them were from other faiths, yes, Christian and not. The biggest number were people who had no faith. They were a desert, and they were hungry for something that had to do with what we would call grace and strength. They needed an anchor in this world that they saw with materialism and false items and the immorality, they saw the shallowness and what would follow that from a way of despair and death and broken relationships and abandonment of responsibilities. I say that again. The most people that came in were men and women who were raised with nothing, but something brought them forward to embrace the Catholic Church. Some were readers. They read the fathers of the church. Some knew a priest or a religious or had a particular person in their construct, their relationships, that they saw they had something they wanted in their Catholic faith. But I believe in the truth of what has been revealed. You are the warriors of Catholicism and Christianity and values in the world. You are. Don't ever underestimate the fact that according to the teachings of the gospel and the teachings of the church, most people who go to hell have no one to pray for their conversion. That's why we are at Mass. It's an obligation to pray for the living and the dead, and especially those who do whatever they do, thinking of no consequences or not caring. As the Blessed Mother said, they have no idea what is in store for them. Well, we do. We are called to everlasting life. We're called to be saints, to be with God forever. In the meantime, we're in something of a desert. We experience oases such as this. But God pours his vitality into us. And even in the ways of all the bad news that's going on, we have to remember that the Holy Spirit will be with us and the church will not only survive but thrive even until the end of time. Again, because of Jesus, there is always hope. Thank you for your faithfulness in this particular parish and wherever you are from that brings you here today. Thank you for the faithfulness that you've experienced in your own parishes and families. I want to thank the parents here and grandparents and teachers and godparents or coaches or mentors who have stepped in and done something to manifest something of the truth of the goodness of the Holy Spirit, who is our advocate and uses us, according to what St. Francis of Assisi, instruments of peace. Remember the responsibility that we have. It is a priest and deacons and parents and teachers' job to call people to the reality of the living gospel and that we receive the living God in Holy Communion after hearing his word. I remind you also what the Blessed Mother has said finally in her apparitions. Remind my children that when they go to Holy Communion, they are to offer their communion for those who are most in need, whether it's a lack of faith or desperation or victimization, that your Holy Communion, because she reminds us that we receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity, his flesh comes into our flesh, his precious blood comes into our blood for a brief period of time after Holy Communion. He forms us and reforms us and reminds us that grace builds on nature, and that we listen to the intuition and the palpable sense of the Holy Spirit that is always calling us to the good and to do penance for the lack of that. And so continue to do what you do. The most thriving parishes in the studies in the United States of America have, and families that are with this, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, confession that is offered often, and an encouragement to pray the rosary. As Our Lady has said at Fatima, this is a weapon against the devil and a resource of strength in our own weaknesses. May God continue to grace and bless the Holy Catholic Church and bless it with many faithful members and to bless the holy souls in purgatory, and to bless those who are experiencing their trials and crosses on this side of the veil of death, and that the communion of saints will always inspire us to join them now and in the fullness of time.